and for each one of us laid on your heart.
The problem is when you get to know people, they're fair game from the pulpit, amen. So long as you're fortunate, I know you, but I don't know you well yet, amen. Lynn, you're fortunate because I don't know you well yet either, but Dave's been filling me in, so you might get something there, just saying. The Lord's good, amen. You glad to be in the house of God tonight?
Amen.
Amen. Malachi and chapter 3. As soon as you say Malachi chapter 3, what do you think of automatically?
Tithing.
Yeah, well, I'm going to preach on tithing, amen. We are going to be in Malachi in chapter 3 tonight for a little bit. And I just want to look at a couple of things with you. He does talk about tithing from verse 10, talks about destroying the devourer for their sakes in verse 11. But I want to pick up in verse 12 through the end of the chapter. I got some thoughts here that I'd like to share with you tonight on Malachi chapter 3. I don't even have a title for this message. I just finished it today. And so if you come up with a title, give it to me. I'll probably never use it anyway. Just saying, you know. But as we look here in the book of Malachi chapter 3, would you stand with me if you're able to? Let's stand as we read the Word of God. I'm just going to read a couple of verses and then we'll go on from there to the Word of God. And all nations shall call you blessed, verse 12, for ye shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. Your words have been stout against me, saith the Lord, yet ye say, what have we spoken so much against thee? Ye have said it is vain to serve God. And what profit is it that we have kept his ordinance and that we have walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts? And now we call the proud happy. Yea, they that work wickedness are set up. Yea, they that tempt God are even delivered. Then they that feared the Lord spake. And we're going to stop right there and pick up a little bit. Father, thank you for your word. I pray, dear God, that you'd have your will and your way accomplished tonight. Speak to our hearts, Father. Help us to, once again, glean something from your word that'll be benefit to all of us. In Jesus' precious name, we'll give you praise and thanks. Amen. You may be seated. As I begin this evening, think about this text. I want to again look at verse 12 through 15 just briefly as we look at a few things here, because he goes on again in the beginning of that when you get down to verse 13. He said, your words have been stout against me. So if you're taking notes, you just might want to write this thought down. Here's my first thought is, these are those who they speak against God. They speak against God. You know what the sad thing is, and let me just shoot off my mouth for a little bit. I've heard Christians, and say they're Christians anyway, they speak against God. They don't speak up for God, but they speak against God. And they'll say, I've heard Christians make statements like, how can God let me go through this as good as I've been? You know what that is? It's speaking against God, amen. How can God, I've heard preachers say, how can God let this happen in my church where I've been so faithful and I pray all the time? How come he's not blessing me like he's blessing so-and-so down here? That, you know what? That's speaking against God. Amen? So it's not just the unsaved sometimes, although I believe that's where he's applying this. These who have not trusted, these who have not believed, these who have not come to him. Look at Malachi chapter 2. Just keep your Bible finger in chapter 3. That's a long way away from chapter 2, I know. But let's go to chapter 2 just for a minute. And look at me down to verse 17 where he says this. Ye have wearied the Lord with your words, yet ye say, wherein have we wearied him? When ye say, every one that doeth evil is good in the sight of the Lord, and he delighteth in them, or where is the God of judgment? Where is the God of judgment? You know, I look at that and I get to thinking sometimes about Christians that are jealous, you know, and how come you don't bless me like you bless us? I had a fellow one time, God just blessed my wife and I tremendously with a gift. And I was telling him about it because it was when I had heart surgery, open heart surgery, and my bills were starting to come in. Didn't have insurance at the time, and bills were piling up. Amen. And you know, I learned something about them doctors. They like to get paid, or they don't want to see you again. Amen. So my bills came to the point, and then I was able to get some insurance. And my bills came up at that time to about $10,000. And there was a church I've been with a number of times out in Connecticut, in New Hartford, in the Hartford area, that was right by UConn University. And the pastor called me and he said, Brother Mike, he said, we're closing the doors. We're not going to continue on. We just can't keep going like this. He said, we can't get property, we can't do this, we can't do that. I said, okay, brother. I said, I'll be praying for you. He said, no. He said, we're calling. We want to know where you're at in your expenses. How much do you have right now for bills coming in? I said, $10,000. He said, we're sending you a check out for $10,000 tomorrow morning. God took care of that bill. Just like that, amen. And then on top of that, they were supporting me. They gave every missionary that supported a year's worth of support at the same time. Isn't God good? Amen. All the time. All the time. But there are those who look at that and they will say, well, how dare God do that for you but not for me? Don't speak against God. Amen. Don't speak against God. Zephaniah chapter 1 verse 12 says, it shall come to pass at that time that I will search Jerusalem with candles and punish the men that are settled on their lees that say in their heart, the Lord will not do good, neither will he do evil. The Lord's not going to do anything about it. I've heard that over and over and over again. Sometimes from Christians. God's not going to do anything about it. Why should I go to church anymore? God's not going to do anything about it. Why? Well, that's a sad state for a born-again believer to be in, amen. I can understand why the world's there, because they don't want Jesus Christ as their Savior, amen. But for a believer to go that far away, boy, we need not speak against God, amen. We need to be careful. Job 15:5 says, for thy mouth uttereth thine iniquity. Isn't that true sometimes? By the way, the world's mouth does utter their iniquity. It utters their stupidity, their iniquity, their sin, their wickedness. Amen. That's the world. He said, for thy mouth uttereth thine iniquity, and thou choosest the tongue of the crafty. Thou, in Job 15:13, he says, thou that turnest thy spirit against God, and lettest such words go out of thy mouth. Those that speak against God. But we need to be very, very, very careful as born-again believers, especially. I see why neighbors that aren't saved, why they do what they do, why they say what they say, but we get caught. Believers should never get caught up in that. Right. Amen. We should never get caught up in that. You ever been caught up in that stuff, Mike? Yep. You ever been caught up in that? Amen. I'm sure we all have at one time or another in our Christian life as believers in Christ. Amen. Hopefully we grow and we grow and we grow and we get beyond that, where we're doing what we ought to be doing, where we're serving God the way we ought to serve God. Because he tells you and I in Psalms 34:13, keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. So if I'm speaking only against God, guess what I'm doing? My tongue is speaking evil and my lips are speaking guile. He said in Psalm 141:3, set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips. Now, I'd be careful about praying that. Amen? Would you? I mean, God just might sew your mouth shut somehow. I don't know. I just got to thinking about that a while back, that, you know, if I'm going to pray that, boy, I got to make sure my heart is where it ought to be. Keep it clean before the Lord. Amen. Keep my mouth clean. Keep it where it ought to be. As a believer, I'm not talking about filthy language. Amen. I gave that up when I got saved. Amen. 49 years ago, it went out the door. Amen. You wouldn't want to talk to me for that. Every other word, or sometimes every word, was some stinking, rotten, filthy word that came out of my mouth before I got saved. But now you go from them that speak against God, and if you look down in verse 16, he says, then, and we're just going to look at verse 16, then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another and said, the Lord hearkened and heard it, and the book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. Now these are those who speak about God. They talk to one another. I love it when I'm around preachers and other people and pastors' fellowships, and we get to sit down around the table and discuss biblical things, amen. And we got over that thing years ago, how many angels can dance on the head of a pin, you know. Didn't we? I hope so, amen. And that, you know, if you're baptized, how long do you have to hold somebody underwater? Well, it depends on how long you like them, you know. I mean, if you don't like them, hold them under a little bit longer, amen. So, but I'm just simply saying we need to learn to speak about God. That fellowship about God, that ought to be something that you desire and that I desire. Not just as a preacher, but as a born-again believer. Amen. And my wife, I love her to death, I'm telling you. She's always got gospel music going in the house. Amen. I'd rather watch a Western on TV, put John Wayne on or something. I'm just messing with you. I'm simply saying, but I'll listen to her. She'll be in the bathroom and she'll have that thing turned. I can't talk to her when she's in the bathroom. She got that thing turned all the way up, you know. And the music's blaring off her phone and, you know, she's listening to somebody in there all the time. Southern gospel and sometimes harp music like this, you know, and then sometimes instrumental music that she got. I tell you, but she just... And then I hear her singing. That's a blessing to my heart. Amen. Praising God. Speaking about the things of the Lord. Sometimes I think our wives, fellas, don't take this the wrong way, but I think our wives sometimes, I think my wife is more spiritual than me. I really do, you know. And I wouldn't have a spiritual bone in my body if it wasn't for the Lord. Amen. Psalm 105 verse 2 says, sing unto him, sing songs unto him, talk ye of all his wondrous works. All his wondrous works. We ought to be talking about his wondrous works, amen. Speak about the things of God. Don't speak against God. Speak about the things of God. Psalm 66:16 says, come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what he hath done for my soul. I love personal testimonies. Amen. You can't share your testimony enough with me that ever make me not want to hear it. I'm not kidding you. You can't tell. You could tell me over and over and over and over again the day you got saved, where you are when you got saved, what took place when you got saved, why you got saved, and what brought you to that point where you would get saved, and how you got. You can tell me over and over and over and over again, and I will never get tired of hearing that. That's important, amen. And we ought to rehearse that over and over and over again, and never be ashamed. I remember knocking on the door in Virginia Beach. Years ago, my brother and I, and knocking on doors, and a lady came to the door and opened the door up, and she got a can of beer in one hand and a cigarette in the other hand, and my brother starts to give her the gospel. She says, "Oh, I've done that. I know who the Lord meant." And the rock music's going in the background in the house, you know. I mean, it was something else. And my brother said, "So when were you saved?" And she said, "That ain't none of your business." But you know, if you're saved, yeah. I would think you wouldn't mind telling somebody. Amen. Right. Psalm 119 verse 26 says, "I have declared my ways, and thou heardest me. Teach me." I heard thy ways. And he says, listen, "and thou heardest me. Teach me thy statutes." Teach me thy statutes. Make me to understand, in Psalm 119, verse 27, next verse, make me to understand the way of thy precepts, so shall I talk of thy wondrous works. Amen. Boy, I tell you what, I don't know about you, but I think we need to focus in on saying the right things, amen. The people, focus in on saying the right things to one another when we come into the house of God, we come into fellowship of the things of God. Look at Psalm 145 with me. That's one we just read the other night, preacher. Psalm 145. Let's just go there real quick. Psalm 145. I'm not going to read the whole psalm of Psalm 145. I'm going to look at verse 1 through 7. He says, "I will extol thee, my God, O King, and I will bless thy name forever and ever. Every day will I bless thee, and I will praise thy name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise thy works to another." Boy, we need that more. We ought to be praising the works of God to the next generation. Amen. I think we've lost something today. We ought to stay strong on that. "And praise thy the works of one another, and shall declare thy mighty acts. I will speak of the glorious honor of thy majesty and of thy wondrous works. And men shall speak of the terrible acts, and I will declare thy greatness. They shall abundantly utter the memory of thy great goodness, and shall sing of thy righteousness." I think it's important, don't you, to speak about God.
Amen.
Not speak against God, but we need to speak about God. And then look at verse 17 with me as we pick up there. I'm not going to read the whole verse. We're going to read the beginning of this. It says, "And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I shall make jewels, and I will spare them." Jewels. They are not only, some don't only speak against God, and those that spoke for God or to God or about God, but these are also special to God. Special to God. Can you imagine that day? He said, let me ask you a question. If you had a diamond in your hand, what would you do with it? Would you just hold it out like that so somebody could steal it from you? If you had a diamond in your hand? I'm not talking about the one on your fingers, ladies. I'm talking about them diamonds, the big honking ones, you know. But if you had one in your hand, would you just hold it out and show it, or would you be hanging on to it just a little bit tighter? Where would you put it? Would you lay it on your dresser at night when you go to bed? Would you leave it on your dresser when you leave the house? Where would you put it? You're going to put it somewhere safe. Hey, I tell you this, you're special to God.
Right.
And you're safe. The hand of the Son, the hand of the Father, sealed there by the Holy Spirit of God until the day of promise. Amen. We're there, the day of redemption, we're there with the Lord. He said in Deuteronomy 7:6, he says, "Thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself, above all people that are upon the face of the earth." About everybody else, he said, he has chosen you. Now, I know he's speaking about Israel. Just hang on a little bit, amen. But we can apply that to us. But he's speaking about Israel here. I know that. He said the same exact thing in Deuteronomy chapter 14, verse 2. Psalm 135:3. Just follow along with me for a little bit. Psalm 135:3 says this: "Praise the Lord, for the Lord is good. Sing praises unto his name, for he is pleasant. For," next verse, "for the Lord hath chosen Jacob unto himself, and Israel for his peculiar treasure." His peculiar treasure. That's a special treasure. Amen. Peculiar treasure. He says in John chapter 17, verse 20, "Neither pray I these for these alone." Remember, this is the Lord's Prayer. Amen. What we say is the Lord's Prayer. He's teaching us to pray. This is where he's praying, man. And he go before the Lord, and look what he says. He says, "Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word."
Amen.
He said, he prayed for you. You're special. You're special to God. Amen. And we ought to recognize the fact that how special we really are. He said, "Who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works." Now, I tell you, Elvin Stevens, I don't know if he ever preached that at your church, but when I pastored, yeah, he preached a message. I think I told you the other day on this text, and he said there's two different words for peculiar in the Greek. I'm not even going to try to go there because I couldn't pronounce the Greek anyway. Amen. I have a hard time with English, let alone Greek or Hebrew. Amen. But hallelujah, I can speak those three. Amen. Hallelujah. He said, "Who gave himself for us, he might redeem unto himself of all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people." And Elvin Stevens got my pulpit when I was pastoring back in the mid 80s, and he said this. He said on that text, he said, "He's peculiar." He says, "It's a little odd." He says, "Many of you look pretty odd out here tonight." You know, and then he says, "I want to preach a message on that text. On for God." And I'll never forget that, amen. But watch what's peculiar people. You're special to him. Zealous of good works. And then he says in 1 Peter 2:9, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal, you know that specialty? A royal priesthood." I can't even begin to understand that. I can't. Because I know me. But he sees me as a royal priest. He sees you as a royal priesthood. So he says, "But be your chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that he should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." You are special, amen. And I don't mean you're special. You're special, amen. You're special people.
Amen.
He says in Psalm 116, verse 13, I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. The very next verse, I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people. Verse 15, the next verse, precious in the sight of the Lord, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Tell me you're not special. You're precious in the sight of the Lord. And if you're precious in the sight of the Lord at death, think about how precious you are also when you're alive. You're precious to God. You think about it, that, well, I'm still a newborn babe. I'm only 49 years of salvation. Amen. How about you? You know, we're taking the meat of the word. Amen. But I'm still learning how to walk some things. I'm still learning how to go the direction God would have me go and be what God had me to be and do what God would have me to do. I'm still growing. Amen. And so aren't you. And God looks at that. It's just like you would look at your little baby in your arms, how precious they are. Then he turned two. And they're not too bad yet. But then they turn teenagers at 13, you get 7 years of tribulation until they turn 20. Amen?
That's right.
But then look with me if you will. Not only that, but he says in verse 17, and they shall be mine, saith the Lord, in that day when I shall make them my jewels. That's special. And I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. These are also not just spoke out against God and speak for God or about God and then special to God, but these are spared by God. Spared by God. I like what he said in Psalm chapter 78, verse 50. We're going to look at that. He's speaking about what he did to Egypt. You go back and you read all that Psalm 78, and he talks about the pestilence. He talks about the fire. He talks about the turning the water into blood. He talks about all he did in Egypt. And you come to verse 50. He says this: He made a way to his anger. He spared not their soul from death, but gave their life over into the pestilence. He spared Israel because they applied the blood in obedience to God's promise. Listen, he'll spare you the same way. Amen. And not only is that blood applied, listen, for your salvation, that continues on all the way through your salvation until you get home to be with God. That's why you can't lose your salvation. He still sees you through the blood of Christ. Amen. And then 2 Peter 2:5, I like that one. He talks about Noah. Amen. In 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 5, he says, and spare not the old world, but save Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bring in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. Oh, he spared Noah and his family because they obeyed God's promise. Amen. If you trust in Christ your Savior, you are no longer under condemnation. We read that tonight. Amen. I just about got all that memorized now, preacher. I still got 36 I'm working on. Amen. But you're no longer under condemnation. You have been spared. How? Because of the blood of Jesus Christ. He spared no one in his family because they obeyed God's promise. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 10, he makes this statement. He talks about mankind. Beginning of verse 10 of John chapter 3, in verse 10, Jesus answered and said to them, art thou a master of Israel? He was speaking to Nicodemus, by the way. Amen. And Nicodemus questioning, how can these things be? And he says, Jesus answers unto him, art thou a master at Israel and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I told you of earthly things, I told you earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man. And I like this part. This just blows my mind. Because watch what he says again. Let me just go back here real quick. And he says, and no man hath ascended up to heaven, amen, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. Woo, man. That set a chill up your back, amen. He's not only here, he's there. Amen. And then he says, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have what? Eternal life. He spares those who trust him for forgiveness. He will spare you if you trust him and believe, confessing your sin. Amen? That's God. You say, no, Brother Mike, I am saved, all right? He'll spare you some heartaches. If there's something in your life that ought not to be in your life, and you confess that to God, he will spare you some heartaches. You say, Brother Mike, you ever had heartaches in the ministry? Yeah. You know who creates them? Not my wife, not my children. Me. Amen? And then look with me down to verse 18, if you would. He said this then in verse 18. Then shall ye return and discern between the righteous and the wicked. Now he's not talking that they're... What's going to happen is they're going to see what has been going on. They're going to understand. They're going to recognize it all of a sudden. So he says, then shall ye return and discern between righteous and the wicked, between them that serveth God and him that serveth him not. So we see not only that those speak out against God, and then some speak for God, and then we're special to God, amen, and spared by God, but here we see that we ought to be a servant of God. A servant of God. So 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 22 makes this statement. I don't know how many times I've ever read this verse, but it never clicked with me until this morning. I was going over this again. He said, for he that is called the Lord, being a servant, is the Lord's free man. Likewise also, he that is called being free is Christ's servant. We are servants of Christ, amen. A servant of Jesus Christ. Now, I like being my own boss, amen. How many of you preachers here like being your own boss, amen? I enjoy it, amen. But I know this, that my boss is up here. He's got greater, much more authority than I could ever have down here. And when I don't listen to him, amen, when I don't do what I ought to do, I don't feel very good about it.
Right.
And I do something I ought not to do, or think some way I ought not to think, I don't feel very good about it. I told you last night, if you're thinking it here, or yesterday, if you're thinking it here, maybe the day before, if you're thinking it here, it needs to be confessed, just like if you're saying it or if you're doing it. Why? Because this will eventually come out of here. It needs to be confessed to God. Just as the sin that you are committing, you need to think about it, you need to confess it, get it right with God, go on in your Christian life. Psalm 109, verse 26 says, help me, O Lord, my God. O save me according to thy mercy, verse 27, that they may know that this is thy hand, that the Lord hath done it. Verse 28, let them curse, but bless thou. When they arise, let them be ashamed, but let thy servant rejoice. Rejoice. What you say in Scripture, rejoice? And again I say what? Rejoice. I think that we need to learn how to rejoice. Amen. Learn them last five Psalms in the book of Psalms. That'll help you praise the Lord. That'll help you rejoice. Amen. And I tell you, go back and read Psalm, what was it, 78? I said, read that Psalm 78. And I rejoiced. When I get to see, think in my mind again, I know I read it in Genesis, amen. I read it in Exodus. I've read it in, you know, but then when you come there and you see Exodus repeated all over again in the form of Scripture that in there in the book of Psalms, that just blessed my heart. Psalm 119, verse 176 says, I've gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek thy servant. I've gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek thy servant, for I do not forget thy commandments. If you've been saved very long at all, you know what the Word of God says. Amen. I don't have to stand up here. I do have my list of do's and don'ts. I try to be careful with that. Amen. But but I don't think I have to stand up here and just preach do's and don'ts, do's and don'ts, do's and don'ts. Why? You know why? Because we know them if we've been saved any length of time. We know the do's and don'ts of the Scripture. I told you tonight that I know I'm saved. I never questioned that. I never questioned because such a radical change, Clarence, took place in my life and my salvation that I've never doubted what God did in my life, because I would have never done what I did after I was saved. I would have never acted that way or talked that way or anything else before I was saved. I would have never done it. Now I know I'm saved. Amen. God won't let me get away. Listen, He won't let me get away with anything. I tell my grandkids all the time, they love to play like Uno and card games and stuff like that with me and our family. We're a game family. We have a great time. We laugh. I don't know any time we haven't been together, Clarence, where we get together, we haven't laughed. We always laugh about something. We're always doing something. I'm doing something stupid usually, and we're always laughing. I told my grandkids, I said, listen, I said, I don't lose. Well, Grandpa, we think you can. I said, yeah, if I think I'm losing, I'm going to cheat. I'm not preaching. I'm just telling you right now. Amen. So once in a while, I'll hide a card on them, you know. And then they'll sit there and they'll lift the card and they'll throw it on the table. You can't do that. I said, well, you didn't see it, did you? We saw you take that from under your leg. I said, oh, man. All right, I'm sorry. But I can't, because I get this. My wife says, I can tell when you're lying to me. You know, I try to be messing with her. You know, she says, you're not telling the truth. You know, she said, you get that little dimple on your cheek, you know. And I said, I get that dimple if I just stand there like this all the time, you know. And I tell you what, they catch me, amen. Why? David says, I do not forget thy commandments. And when we forget the things of God, guess what? We get caught. Amen. It might not be some other Christian that catches you. Amen. Might not be some preacher that catches you. Might not be your wife or your husband that catches you. But guess what? The Holy Spirit will catch you. He will convict you. Somebody said one time, I can live this way and do whatever I want to do because I'm saved. I said, well, if you believe you can live any way you want to live and live in sin as a child of God, then you're either lying if you say it doesn't bother you, or you're not saved. Amen. You're either lying or you're not saved. No, because it does bother you. Amen. Sin bother you? Absolutely. It's the same way it bothers me. I even got some preferences that bother me that might not bother you, but sin, outright sin in the Word of God, dealing with the Word of God, if I step out of line, God smokes my heart and brings me back where I ought to be as a child of God. He says in Luke 16:13, you know the verse, no servant can serve two masters, for he will either hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and what? Mammon. That's the world. Mammon. They say, well, that's finance, that's money. It's world. It's worldly things. Amen. What somebody who has a lot of money do if they're not using it for the Lord and doing it the right way? Worldly thing. Worldly pleasure. Amen. That's life. That's how people do. We need to make sure that we are serving the right master, because we are supposed to be a servant of a holy, righteous, pure, loving God. Amen?
Amen.
Let's have our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Two questions with your heads bowed and your eyes closed. You know, I know tonight probably went one of you or two of you tonight, but most of you I know heard your testimonies many times. New ones, I've heard your testimonies, amen. But tonight, if you're not sure of your salvation, would you make sure tonight He has spared you if you'll trust in Him and call upon Him? Is there anybody this evening just with a quick upraised hand and say, Mike, I'm not sure. I'm not sure I'm born again. Anybody at all? Anybody at all? I don't see any hands. Second question is this. Brother Mike, would you pray for me tonight? Because there's something in that message that God used to speak to my heart. And be honest, God bless you. Amen. Others, stick up your hand. Great, God bless you. Amen. Others, how about it? Let's be honest tonight. Let's just be honest. God speak to your heart. Amen. Amen. Let's stand at our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. And Father, I thank you for this wonderful evening, Lord. Thank you for the privilege you've given to me to be here tonight, Father. Thank you for these pastors that came out this evening, Lord, and their wives that are with them, Father. Thank you for your grace and your mercy. For the folks in the church who came out tonight, God, thank you so much for what you do in our lives. God, I pray that this message is going forth, there'll be something in there that will help minister to each one of us as your children, that you would be honored and glorified and magnified upon high now. In Christ's precious name, keep our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Amen. The Lord spoke to your heart. I want you to slip out of your seat. You raise your hands and pray for me. Slip out and come. God bless you. Amen. Others, come on. God bless you. Amen. You say, well, Mike, I didn't raise my hand, but the Lord spoke to my heart. No matter if you raise your hand, you come. Amen. You need to come, you come. We'll give you a few moments to get done and go back to your seat when you're finished. If you need to sit down, feel free, please, to sit down. You don't have to stand up.
Take a minute and spend some time in prayer. We have much to pray about. And so if you want to sit there at your seat or come to an altar or kneel there at your seat, let's just word our prayers while the heart is with us. Father, thank you for each prayer that's been lifted to thee tonight. Pray again that you'd see our heart, hear our prayer. Thank you for each decision that's been made tonight, and we'll praise you again and thank you. Thank you again, Father, for each challenge. May we go not just challenged but changed, and we'll praise you, Father, again and thank you for your touch on the words of Brother Mike tonight, and Father, of your words most precious, and we'll give you the praise in the name of Christ. Amen. You may be seated for just a moment again. And boy, it's good to have some preachers here. I like testimonies, and so we've heard some about that tonight. And so let's say it'll take 3, 6, 9 minutes if we do 3-minute testimonies from our preachers here tonight. And so I'm going to ask that our preachers go ahead. Just give a salvation testimony. Clarence, yours is on Unshackled. We could just get the Unshackled tape. How many's heard Clarence's testimony on Unshackled? All right. I'm sure you can dig it out on the internet again. It's worth it. Praise the Lord. Brother Clarence, when did you get saved?
I'd like to say amazing grace. How
amen.
Saved a wretch like me. I once was lost. Searching. Where's it really at? Something missing. I think every person out there in the world knows that. Something missing. Place in their hearts. Christ can fail and the work only can have right to do. 46 years ago.
Praise the Lord.
October 30th. Brother Leo invited me to church. Riding with gangs, long hair, tattoos, chains. I remember going to this little country church. And I rode in on my old 1940 Harley Davidson knucklehead. I was a knucklehead. But before I even got to the door, two men came out. I didn't know what to expect. I looked at them and they reached out their hands and said, "Have you here?" I said, "Really?" No, I'm so glad when I'm around. And he said, "Come on in." He introduced me to some of the brethren. What touched my heart was some testimonies. I heard people telling how God, they say you lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. But they were telling me how good the water was. And as I heard that, preacher preached Psalms 23. The Lord is my shepherd, he said, it's yours. I remember well. But he leadeth me. He says, "Who's leading you? Where is Elijah?" He's willing to restore your soul. That day I got saved.
Yeah.
Walked up that aisle and got saved. Nothing's ever been the same since.
Praise
the Lord.
Really
one God. 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man be in Christ, he becomes a good creature.
Amen.
Old
Amen.
Things pass away. The old all things become new. Heaven bless you to follow Christ. He says he orders our footsteps. Footsteps of the righteous are ordered by the Lord. Psalm 7:119. Ordered by footsteps through thy word. I thank God for the Bible.
Yeah.
The foundation to live on.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, brother. All right. Brother Drake, when did you get saved?
I know you don't think I'm saved. That was 1968. Just came back from Germany in the Air Force. Got hooked on that German beer. It was over there for 4 years. But just as lost as could be, my wife was too. She was a good Roman Catholic. And when she married me, boy, that stopped. I didn't want anything to do with churches, religion, Bible, anything. So I ran all that down all the time. People tried to give me tracts and so forth. But when I was working at Bell Aerospace in Wheatfield, it was a thunderstorm. I was on a night shift and Marlene was at home. It was a bad lightning storm. I wouldn't know it inside that big plant, but bringing down trees and things. She was scared. She had heard the gospel from her parents, so she knew what to do anyway. She knew the fear of God. She repented. When I came home from work, she told me that. I had to go up. I had all kinds of visions of holy rollers and everything, you know. That's what could happen in my house. So give me that Bible. It's full of mistakes and contradictions and things. So I spent the next week studying it, trying to find the contradiction. And so on a hot August day, alone at home, finally had so much frustration that I couldn't find anything wrong with the word. Had a beer in one hand and a cigarette in another and a Bible in my lap. And I asked the Lord to save me. The rest is history. We both got baptized, joined the church, and then God called me into the ministry in 1977. Like our brother says, 2 Corinthians 5:17, still in the book.
Yeah, pretty funny. Yeah. All right. Appreciate that. Well, Don, when did you get saved?
Yes, sir. I came home from the Marine Corps in 1966. And I gave my wife the sweethearts. And I thought I was at that time, I was a baby because my mother's side was nervous. And again at 18, because my mother was up there, I should be baptized again in case I get killed. So I did. It didn't mean nothing to me. Got out of the Corps, my wife and I got back together. Got married shortly thereafter, 1966. She was a Christian, and I wasn't, and I didn't care to be one, I didn't care to come back to the religious media class, and I didn't want none of that stuff in our house. But anyhow, two friends that we graduated high school, we got married, and my wife, we're all Christians, and we were friends. Did things together. They were always witnessing to me. I don't know whether the Holy Ghost was used in that. But I would just get angry and upset about it. But it didn't feel right after they did that. That was quite often. So I had a revival come to town, a camp meeting, and this was 1970. And I got the idea that, okay, I'm going to, let's make a deal, you know. And I got those three together, because they're always trying to get me to the church. And I said, let's make a deal. I'll go to church. I'll go to this revival. And no more. No more witnessing. No more about the Lord. I'll at least honor your building the church. So I'm at church Monday night. So I'm like, oh, we didn't say much. I came home from work early the next evening, and I told her, don't make supper for us. Don't get your bite. She said, where are we going? I said, never you mind. So we went to the revival again the second night. It just got deeper in. The third night, Wednesday night, I got deeper in. The Thursday night, I said, way in that 22 rows back in that camp meeting thing. I would have said 23, but it was 4. But I had to say 23, 22. And I mean, we were on both sides. I thought, I'm going to hide. You can't get me. The preaching went. The group that they had singing there. We later became good friends, but at the invitation, they stood up and said, I'm sorry, I never knew you. And the invitation was given. And I knew right there that I walked out. And I go to hell. Still, I followed it. I held on to the pew as much as I could. And my legs kind of started walking. I was holding on. And I'm thinking I either have the back door or I'm going to fall down. Then they got out. Safety.
Yeah,
from nobody believed it for a while. They had a little bit of a reputation, but all my friends were saying, "What happened to him?" But God saved me, and everything changed. And a year later, He called me to preach, and I've been preaching ever since.
Amen.
Glory be His holy, precious name. Same. Rich like me.
Yeah, amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. In 1958, the preacher was going down France Street, knocking on doors, asking people to help start a Baptist church. He stopped at 40 Plant Street, and my dad was under the car working on it. That's where I was today, in fact. And my mom was sitting on the front step with all of us kids. And the preacher came up and said, we're trying to get a Baptist church started. Would you like to be founding members of a Baptist church? My mom said the line I've heard so many times. She said, no, thank you. We're Catholic. And but my dad heard that under the car. And he said, hey, I want to be part of a Baptist church. Well, they got saved again, born again. They got so saved that for the next 2 years, I was six at the time, next 2 years, every time the church doors was open, the whole Rice family was there. Sunday morning, Sunday school, church, Sunday night, Wednesday night for prayer meeting, Thursday night for visitation, Saturday for bus visitation. We was in church. All of us Rices was there. And 2 years later, Dale Noble Lineball came to that same church down in Gang Mills down here. And was preaching. We was in junior church with Opal Linebaugh, and she was doing Pilgrim's Progress, a flannel graph of Pilgrim's Progress. And on Thursday night, she reached up with a pair of scissors and clipped off that burden. There's Pilgrim kneeling at the cross. She reached up with a pair of scissors and clipped that burden off Pilgrim's back. And before that piece of flannel graph fluttered down and touched the floor, a little boy named Ed Rice got born again, saved, praise the Lord, at 8 years old in 1960. God saved me. Hallelujah. Let's open our songbooks to 722. Let's stand and dismiss Christ for me. My sister got saved same week, and I still remember waiting for a whole year till the ice was out of Ford's Pond before we could, up on Beartown Road, before we could go and get baptized, praise the Lord. 722, Christ for me, a simple chorus. Christ for me, yes, it's Christ for me. He's my Savior, my Lord and King. I'm so happy, I shout and sing. Christ for me. Yes, it's Christ for me. Every day as I go my way, it is Christ for me. I'm not convinced you got all them words in there. Let's try it again. Christ for me. Yes, it's Christ for me. He's my Savior, my Lord and King. I'm so happy, I shout and sing. Christ for me. Yes, it's Christ for me. Every day as I go my way, it is Christ for me. Lord, bless you for being in the Lord's house with believers tonight. Shake hands with one another, greet one another, and fellowship a little bit. Lord, bless you.